Good evening. Someone gave me a note that there's a Honda Insight Hybrid outside. You have your lights on. In fact, I can see them from right here. So if that's your car, you need to go check on that, or you might need a ride after church. And there'll be plenty of people here ready to give it, right? Okay. You know, one day a group of scientists got together and decided that man had come a long way, no longer needed God. So they picked one scientist to go and tell God that they were done with him. And the scientist walked up to God and said, "God, we've decided that we no longer need you. We're at the point now that we can clone people and do many miraculous things, so why don't you just go on and get lost?" God listened very patiently and kindly to the man, and after the scientist was done talking, God said, "Very, very well. How about this? Let's say we have a man-making contest." To which the scientist replied, "Okay, great." So God added, "Now we're going to do this just like I did it back in the days of Adam." And the scientist said, "Sure, no problem." He bent down and grabbed some dirt from the ground. He said, "Uh-uh. You get your own dirt." Right? You don't get to use my dirt. I made that dirt. And so, you know, one of the most important moments of life comes when we awaken to our need for God. And when we come to understand in crystal clarity our inability to survive spiritually, and in fact even to get through this life successfully without Him. Abraham Lincoln once said, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go." I knew a man one time that was going through terrible things in his life, and he told me at one point, he said, "Nathan, I could not get through a single day if it wasn't for God and prayer." You know, the problem sometimes is that we think we have everywhere else to go. We have doctors, we have bankers, we have lawyers, we have professors, we have banks, we have schools. We think that we have everywhere else to go, and yet we forget that none of those can truly help us in the things that are most important. When we think we can get along fine without God, there is one thing that is for certain going to happen in our lives. We're going to stop praying. The minute that I believe that I can get through this life and that I can handle this life and I can get through the day without God, I can promise you when I come to that conclusion and when I live that type of reality in my life, I will not pray because I will not see a need. I will not feel a need. But God's people, we need to understand, God's people pray. And I want us to think about why God's people pray. Why do they pray? I mean, I don't know if anyone's ever asked you, why do you pray? Why do you believe in prayer? You know, some people, and we see it a lot in our society today and on television shows, you know, that mystic, that stuff, that silly stuff. But why do we pray? I want to think about a few reasons tonight. Number one is because God's people believe in the awesomeness of God. An old preacher once said, "I don't believe in prayer, I do believe in God." And I think that's very profound. For prayer without God isn't anything. It doesn't mean anything. But the reason why prayer is so wonderful is because God is so awesome. I want us to observe some ways, and I'm going to throw out those big preacher omni words for us here in just a moment. You know, I want us to think about and observe the awesome nature of God, that He is omnipresent, which means that He's everywhere. Everywhere at all times, you never go anywhere that God is not there. There's nowhere that you can hide. The psalmist once asked, "Where can I hide from Him?" Right? Whether I go to the heights of the heavens or down into the depths of Sheol, or whether I'm in the darkest place, dark is like light to God. There's nowhere I can go that He's not. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 23 and 24, "Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do not I feel heaven and earth, declares the Lord. He fills all things. There's nowhere that we go that He is not there. In fact, the entirety of creation, according to Colossians chapter 1, is held together by the power of His might. There is not a place that God is not. So God sees and knows everything about me. He knows my circumstances. And folks, when things are going bad in my life, there is no possible way that God doesn't know that and doesn't care about that. If He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross, He cares about what I'm going through on a daily basis. And whether anybody else in this world knows what I'm going through, He does. Because He's there. He's also omniscient. He's all-knowing. Proverbs 15 and 11 says, "Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit." There is no limit to what God knows. There is no limit to what God understands. God does not learn anything because He knows everything. There is nothing new to God, for He knows it all. Jeremiah said that He knew all of his days before there was yet one, right? For Jeremiah had even lived a day on this earth, God already knew all of his days. You know, He knows just what I need because of that and when I need it. And He understands things about me that even I do not understand about myself. And He understands what I need sometimes better than I. You know, there's been times when I thought I needed something, I got something that's the worst thing I ever did for myself. Right? You ever had done that? Thought, well, I really need this. I really want to get this. I really want to do this. And when I do it, or when I get it, or when I have it, you know, then I realize this isn't so great for me. But God understands what's best for me because He knows better than I do. So when I pray to Him, I know He knows what I need. I know He wants to bless me with the things that are necessary for me in this life. He understands these things. He's also omnipotent. He is all-powerful. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17 says, "Ah, sovereign Lord, You have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for You." God can do all those things that you and I wished we could do. You know, He says, "Sovereign Lord." Do you realize that God is the only true sovereign in the universe? He is the only true sovereign that exists. Sovereignty comes that power exists from within yourself. But God gives power. The United States is not sovereign. It was ordained by God. It received its power from somewhere else. And every other country has that same thing according to Romans chapter 13. God did not receive His power from anywhere else. It is inherent to Him. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. There is nothing that He cannot do. There's no power, nothing that is beyond His power. And all we have to do is think about creation, right? I mean, it's one thing to be good with your hands and to build. Rod built a nifty little bow tie. I love that bow tie. I need to check out Rod's bow tie. And Bill R. can do a lot of things with wood. You know, there's people that can build things. They're very good with their hands, and they're very good at constructing stuff. Some here are engineers, and you're good at designing and constructing things. But you have to get there and do it with your hands. God speaks it, and it happens. That's power. Let there be light. Right? And there's light. God speaks it, and it's so. He is incredible in His power. And God can do all those things. God has the power to make prayer capable of doing incredible things in our lives. And I'm not talking about miraculous things. I'm talking about working within His providence. He works in the grand scheme of all things. And that's hard for us to see. It's impossible for us to see. But He does. He raised up nations. He foretold about nations in the Old Testament that would rise up before they ever did. And He made them rise up and accomplish His purposes. So we believe in prayer as God's people. We pray because of the awesomeness of God, because of the power of God that we know is underlying our prayers, that is behind our prayers, that makes our prayers effectual. But also, God's people pray because they believe in the love of God. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. That He has a love for you and He has a love for me that is beyond knowledge, beyond what you and I can even begin to grasp or to understand or to even know with our small, tiny, finite minds as we try to comprehend an infinite God. And that love is so great. And we love. We love each other. We love our children. We love our spouses. And yet, all those kinds of love that we deal in, even the strongest of those emotions that we have in our world today, pales to insignificance in the light of the love of God for us. But as we think about love, we understand that God says that He is our Father. In Matthew chapter 7 and verses 7 through 11, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount there talks about fathers. He said, you as fathers, if your child asked you for a loaf of bread, you wouldn't give him a stone, would you? I don't think any father here would do that. If your child asked you for a fish, you wouldn't give him a snake. Now, I wouldn't give him a snake because I'm scared of snakes. So he'd have to get his snake somewhere else. But he says, if he asked for a fish, you wouldn't give him a snake. And then Jesus makes the conclusion, doesn't he? If you, being evil, and understand what he's saying there, God is good. Remember, Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's only one good. That's God, right? All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. If you, being evil, not good like God is, if you know how to give good things to your children, how much more will God give, who is infinite in love, infinite in goodness, and wants to help you so much? You've ever thought about that? I tell you what, when you really come to believe that, when that really takes root in your heart and in your mind, you're going to pray. You're going to pray to receive those things that a loving God wants to give you. In 1973, a long time ago, and I don't know what current stats are, but you know, there was a story carried in the newspaper about how that they had discovered that the universe was a lot bigger than they thought it was, and that they had found signals up to 10 million light years from, I'm sorry, up to 50 million light years from Earth. And the previous record before that, I mean, it really eclipsed it. What they had previously recorded before, they said was only 10 million, so it had gotten five times larger. And our universe is an impressive thing, is it not? I love to look at the stars. I went to the planetarium at the Creation Museum, and they had this thing where they kind of take you away from Earth, and you keep going further and further, and there comes a point where you can't even see our sun anymore, and then you leave our galaxy, and you get out there, and you go to another galaxy, you can't even see our galaxy from that galaxy. It's so enormous. Billions and billions and billions and billions of stars. Planetary bodies. Our universe is incredibly large. Remember one old preacher said, I think it'd be a hoot if one day God, you know, they were looking in their telescopes as they get ever bigger. And he said, and there was a sign out there that said, the end. That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? At least they'd stop guessing and know where it's at. Psalm 103 and 11 says, for as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. Do you get that? We think about the vastness of our universe. God says, as high as that is, that's what my love is like for those that fear me. It's huge. It's enormous. It's beyond comprehension. That's why Peter could say in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, to cast all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. How many of us, when we're having anxious moments, when we're having anxious times, first thing we do is gripe, or the first thing we do is call a friend, or the first thing we do is tell someone else? How many of us is the first thing we do to pray? Cast that care upon the God who loves us bigger than the universe. That should be our first place to go. I don't like it when I hear people say, well, I had nowhere else to go, so I prayed. You got that way out of order. You really had no place to go when you started, except to God. We need to go there first. You might be amazed at how many other steps you could cut out if you just went to there first. How many other efforts and energy, the energy you expend, how much of that you would get back if you just went to God first and ask Him and let Him do what He does for us in our lives. That's believing in prayer. But we think we find the answers everywhere but God. When we realize we can't, then we finally turn to Him. I think He wants more than that from us. God's people also pray because they believe in the answer of God. Mark chapter 11, beginning with verse 22, Jesus answered them saying, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you." Now don't go home tonight and pray for a fancy car and go, "I believe it's already there. I'm going to run out and check the yard," right? Don't do that. Not really what he's talking about. It's not even contextually what he's talking about. But those things that we need, those things that God has promised that He'll provide, we pray for those things, and we need to know and understand that God cannot lie. And if He says, "I will give these things to you," you can believe they've already been granted by Him. You can believe that God has already answered that prayer. Now, it may not be right now that you get it. His answers sometimes have another date on them. But you can believe that He answers. He says, "That's what I want. I want people that believe in me, that trust in me." God will answer wisely. He will answer what is best for us. And God not only knows all things, He also knows what are the best things. Somebody once wrote, "I asked God for strength that I might achieve. He made me weak that I might obey. I asked for health that I might do great things. He gave me grace that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. He gave me poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. He gave me weakness that I might feel a need for God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. He gave me life that I might enjoy all things. I received nothing I had asked for. He gave me all that I hoped for." I think sometimes we can look back in our lives and we can see that. Garth Brooks had that song so long ago, right, about seeing the girlfriend that he used to have. And thank God for unanswered prayers. He said, "I'd prayed that she'd be my wife, but the woman standing next to me is much better," right? He saw something better. That's pretty simplistic. But sometimes God does know, always God knows best. And sometimes we need to take time to look and to see it. Another man once wrote, a woman wrote, "Lord, I crawled across the barrenness to you with my empty cup, uncertain in asking any small drop of refreshment. If only I had known better, I'd have come running to you with a bucket." Came to you with just a cup. And I didn't realize what I needed was a bucket, because you're the God that loves to take care of His people. That's why we pray. That's why God's people pray, because we serve an awesome God, because He loves us, and because He is going to give us the answers and the things that we need most, things that we don't even understand, we don't even know. When you need strength, pray. When you need comfort, pray. When you need wisdom, pray. When you need reassurance, pray. When you need a softer heart, pray. When you need help with temptation, pray. When you need help to forgive, pray. And that list could go on and on, and it would still be the appropriate ending to pray. How is your prayer life today? How often do you pray to God? How fervently do you pray? Do you believe that God can do something in your life? Do you believe that He loves you? Do you believe that He will answer you if you pray? If you don't, you probably won't pray. But if you do, you will. And it will change your life. It'll make a difference because you entrust yourself to the God that answers prayers. Like I told you before a few moments ago, we don't believe in prayer, we believe in God. And this evening, God, in all of His wonderful love, sent His only Son to die for us upon the cross. Folks, everything that God may give you on a daily basis doesn't even compare to that one gift, does it? He provides me food. He's promised that. And I can pray that and know without any doubt that that's going to be given. Because He's promised if I seek Him first, He will give that. But all the food in the world would not even touch Jesus Christ on the cross. He says He'll provide the clothes on my back. But all the clothes and the finest clothes. In fact, He said that the lilies are clothed greater than Solomon in all of His glory. All the clothes in the world do not touch Jesus Christ. He may give me strength when I'm sick. Give me health. But all the health and all the strength will never touch Jesus Christ. If God will give Him, why in the world do we believe He won't give us those things we need? But He gave Him. This evening you have an opportunity to take advantage of the reason He gave Him, and that is to save your soul. And if all your needs tonight is you think about things you might could pray for and you think about things you need and you need to pray for, of all the things you need tonight, that is it. God never gives you any more food. God never gives you anything else. You better get that one. The salvation found in that wonderful gift of Jesus Christ. We hope and pray that you'll obey the gospel and take advantage of that. Believe in Jesus. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as the Son of God. Be buried in baptism. Raised to be a praying person because you trust the God that saved you. If you're a child of God tonight, maybe you forgot about prayer. Maybe you haven't thought about what God can do for you. Maybe you've looked everywhere else and your life is always looking in other directions besides the God that helps. Turn to Him. Because let me tell you what, if you have a sin tonight as a child of God, you better turn to Him. Confess your sins. Know that that's the only way that He's faithful and just to forgive them. We can help you this evening. If we can help you become closer to God, have greater faith in God and what He can do in your life, we hope and pray that you will let us. Why don't you come as we stand, as we sing.